For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 306. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Miguel Kaplan.
Ooh, ooh la la.
España.
And I'm Danny Boy Rivera.
Miguel, yes! Boy Kaplan.
Bringing himself in early on the show. Today, everybody. Oh, you can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. I am putting up new stand-up comedy clips all the time of me doing actual jokes most of the time. It's not
actual free jokes.
Not just talking to the crowd and asking them to come up with the jokes. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. Cap'n NYC. For your real estate needs. Yeah. And Kaplan, tell the people we're doing a show, a stand-up
this
show
week.
Together this week. Kaplan, how many times in your life have you done stand-up comedy?
This will be the fourth time.
You do it about once every year. Once
biannual. I like to do it every year, every 18 months. Yeah.
Every other year.
Like an election.
And the next one is this Thursday, July 27th, right here in Queens, New York, Long Island. Long Island City.
Let's get it right. We're not in New Jersey. We're not in Long Island. We're in New York City, Long Island City, at the place called Game House. And it's July 27th, 7 p.m. And you are going to be on the show.
I'm Thomas on the Parks. Show. I got booked.
You got booked. I'm doing you a big favor. You know,
I know a guy.
You know, I give you a break, give you a little chance to, you know, work out some jokes. And then we have other comedians. We have Gus Tate.
Friend of the pod. Yeah. Everybody knows Gus. Gus is did comedy with me in China for years. Now lives in New York City. Fantastic comedian. Tours the U.S. doing comedy.
Yeah. And then we have Phil Duckett.
Phil Duckett. I love Phil Duckett. Yeah. One of the first people I met when I moved to New York City. A powerhouse stand-up comic. Check out Phil Duckett.
And then we have Jess Levine.
Is that Jess Levine?
Levine.
Jessica Levine is when I say Phil's a powerhouse, Jessica is like over the top. I only met her a couple years ago, I think post-pandemic, doing comedy in New York. She's one of the funniest working comedians in New York City right now. I will say this lineup that you put together, Kaplan, it is
the best lineup.
It's going to be the best show of that night in New York City.
Some are calling it the biggest night in Queens since the time Jerry Seinfeld did like a drop in one night in Long Island City. Like, this is like the biggest comedy night we've ever had. So
biggest comedy night. Well, because, yeah, and then our friend Matt Goldich is doing a rival show down the street. Yeah. Don't go to his show.
No, we're running him out of business this night. Sorry. Sorry, Matt. But, and I'm going to be hosting, as you mentioned.
Kaplan, this is your first time ever hosting.
I don't know. You got to tell me. I'm supposed to talk to the crowd a lot, or I'm not supposed to talk? The first question.
As a host, you talk a bit.
A bit, okay.
But then eventually, have to go into your material.
I have to tell some jokes.
Because the crowd... we were just talking about this off air, and we'll talk more when we bring Danny Boy in. The crowd has to know what a joke sounds like before the next comedian comes up, because these hosts now, they go up and they do 10 to 15 minutes of just talking to the crowd. Like it's a question and answer, like we're in a college
speed dating
lecture
or something.
Yeah. And that speed dating is a good thing. They just ask, where are you from? What do you do for a living? Okay, cool. No joke. And then they go, now, where are you from? What do you do?
They're waiting for someone to have something they have a joke on, like to hit a city. They have like,
I think they're waiting on that. Yeah. And then they do that for 10 or 15 minutes. And then they go, all right, now next comedian. Right.
I got my clip for Instagram. I don't need to talk. I have one funny interaction with a crowd member.
So the way you do it is you do a couple minutes of that, literally two or three.
All right,
writing this down?
Two or three minutes talking.
2 or 3 minutes of talking. No, not talking. You have to somehow try and make it funny. Okay, though.
Funny talking. We'll write that
and
funny.
And then funny talk. Write down funny talking.
Underlining funny.
Underline circle funny.
Circling it. And exclamation point.
And then... go into, okay, enough about you people. Now me. Here are my jokes. 7 to 8 minutes of your own jokes.
7 to 8 minutes. Okay. So the whole thing's like 10 minutes about.
Yeah, you do about 10 minutes. Okay. Yeah. The other thing is I've seen these hosts will pull themselves off early. They'll do one joke and it won't go well. And they'll go, right, 2.5 minutes into the show. All right, whatever. Enough of me. You're going to see the other comedian. And they go collect their
paycheck. And then as the host, when you come back on, you tell jokes at some point again. Like,
This is another mistake people make.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying you make. The others make this. These are... comedians, what they'll do is they'll go up and they'll bomb in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
And then if the next comedian does well, now all of a sudden it's a hot crowd.
Oh, and I want to capitalize.
So they want to capitalize and they go, well, I'm going to do another joke because I want to feel like I killed too.
Right.
You know, so they'll try to ride the wave, and that's called being a selfish. That's a shoot first point guard move.
Oh no! See, I'm like a leadoff hitter in baseball. I think I understand this. You're getting up there. You're taking some pitches. I'm getting things going. Getting
it's like
on
being
base.
A point guard. It's
yeah,
like you set but everybody.
The heavy
up
hitters are going to knock me in. I don't have to worry about doing anything after one.
So time. The only reason why you would do jokes in between comedians is if a comedian bombs.
Okay.
Because then you go, well, this crowd's dead. I'm going to need to pick it back up.
Which I kind of like, actually, because I don't understand this. I don't want to follow someone who's funnier than me. You know,
no.
I'd rather do the jokes if someone bombs. It feels like it's an easier. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's your job now to pick the audience back up. You do 1 to 2 minutes at most, two minutes.
So that's like an audible. That's only play it by ear.
Everybody's doing well,
you don't do
any jokes in between. You keep it rolling.
Oh, okay. I got it. I'm glad we had this talk because I thought I was doing like 2 different 5-minute parts. And now I'm realizing
have to. If everybody bombs, or if you have a really funny, like one-off quip,
one-off.
Like if you're sitting in the back of the room, and you're taking notes as a host. Mm. Somebody, Phil Duckett's up there and he's doing jokes and you go, well, he said something to the guy in the crowd and I have a joke I could say to that guy in the crowd.
Oh,
now
okay.
You go up, you do a 5-second like, hey, dude, in the crowd, you're ugly.
The trickster called.
Everybody laughs. You go, let's keep it moving. Next comedian, you know, just hit. All right. Anyway, enough comedy.
So the show for everyone to getting tickets. Comedy. Last week, I apparently gave out the wrong address on the air.
You gave out the wrong website.
So the show would be sold out if I gave out the right website. But lucky for you, I didn't. So it's still tickets are still available. comedyforacause.nyc. 4 is FOR. It is not the number 4. That's
key. Last week you said it was a number 4, and it turned out your assistant in the Philippines decided he didn't like the number.
He didn't.
4.
He said we're number 1. This is Nero's real estate team is number 1. He changed it. So we're
comedy for
a cause.
A cure. You just said a cure. Is it comedy for a cure or for a cause?
Comedy for a cause. We're not cure. We're not promising. We're benefiting the Dementia Society of America.
We're not.
We're not promising that we're curing dementia here. That's not our goal. Our goal is to laugh. Raise a little bit of money.
Jokes are pretty good. They might cure dementia.
If we cure dementia, I mean, maybe I'll mention that when I'm introducing Phil. He's going to cure dementia. Not just Alzheimer's. We're curing all dementia. We're shooting big. So comedy for a cause. NYC.
Okay, today we have, I don't even think we've said the topic. We have Danny Boy Rivera joining us from Spain, from his home in Spain. we are talking about, they just had an election in Spain. Everybody said this election was going to the far right movement has been sweeping Europe.
Yeah.
Italy has
Lady Mussolini. They got a.
No, yes. But what's it?
Meloni.
Giorgia Meloni.
Meloni. Meloni's in, she's in office now. You got Le Pen nipping on the heels.
Orban in Hungary.
She's about to get elected, and she might be elected in France. Yeah, you got Hungary. You got the neo-Nazis are back in Austria. They're having a good time.
Yes.
Got the Wagner group marching around Russia.
Yeah, you got everybody. And they said, next up is Spain. And then they had an election yesterday, and the far right people lost.
They didn't win. They thought the far right was going to be like the kingmakers, where they were going to be able to install a conservative government. And that far right hasn't been involved since like Franco back in like 50 years ago, since that dictatorship fell. So this is going to be big news, but we're here to tell you it didn't happen.
Not James Franco, his grandfather, right? He's the actor.
People would dispute who is a bigger monster. They're both.
That's what I know about this. I don't know what you know, Kaplan. I think we've just gone through kind of what we know.
Yeah.
So now it's like a middle, but the far left lost too. That's what was interesting to me.
Right. They have a socialist leader now, but he didn't win either. No one has a majority.
He lost seats. The far right lost seats, and it's back to the middle.
The center. The alt middle might be having
they pulled a Joe Biden here, and they went very middle of the road. Danny Boy Rivera. Welcome to the show. Tell us what we got right and what we got wrong. And also, because you're a fantastic stand-up comedian, everybody follow him on Instagram right now at Danny Boy Rivera, D-A-N-N-Y Boy Rivera, performing all over Spain, all over Europe. What do you think of, let's start here, of Kaplan? Any advice for Kaplan for hosting a stand-up comedy show?
Yes, as a veteran.
Okay, in Spain, we have the same you said about the just talking to people.
They just talk now. They talk.
They just talk. But it's not only the hosts. There are some comedians who are doing the whole show.
Their whole set is just talking to the audience?
Without any joke. I've seen that.
I mean, I'll
like
tell...
1 hour.
1 hour, no joke.
Well, and they meet actually all of the people in the audience. You know?
Right, they go through one by one. Row. What's your name? Where are you from? They should wear...
So it's like in high school. Stickers. You know, in high school... Okay, David.
Yes. Yeah, the guy goes, David.
You're
yeah,
a major yeah, you're in TV. You're a,
yeah, you have to give your major, your school.
Hometown.
It's like, and how long you've been an alcoholic for?
Yes. People. So I shouldn't do that, is what you're saying. That's universally a bad idea.
Those are advices for...
I was talking to a friend who's a Chinese comedian. He's visiting from Beijing. He said the exact same thing is happening in China. He's like, all these young comedians, they just talk. Now,
yeah.
So the same way right wing that like the Europe is being swept by right wing authoritarianism, you're saying this is the same exact thing. It's sweeping the comedy world.
The world. Yes. I would rather crowd work. Be swept by right wing authoritarianism.
So Spain could, we could stop the fascism.
If you stop fascism, we could stop.
Crowd work,
but we can't stop the crowd work. Yeah, let's go with the easy things first.
Yes.
Fascism. Let's take down and then crowd work. I think it's because it's we all get Instagram, right? And we all get TikTok. And
that's
so
it.
New comedians. I don't know, in America, we all thought that during the pandemic, half the comedians would quit. And comedians in New York City were like, this pandemic's great. You know, yes, a million people are dead, but
I'm getting
there's going to be less comedians. Yeah. No, we were wrong. What happened is like hundreds of thousands of young people started comedy during the pandemic because they said, all I have to do is like talk to people in the crowd and I can be famous on TikTok. So all these 23-year-olds, 24-year-olds, have flooded into New York City and all they do is talk. But what I'm hearing is that's happening around the world.
Yes. In this case, the pandemic started in USA, I think. Not Wuhan.
The comedy pandemic.
Yes.
Okay, so it pandemic. Started it with us in 2021, and then it came to you after. Now, what's the worst pandemic? The coronavirus, the influenza, or the crowd work pandemic?
For comedians in Spain, maybe the crowd work, I think. But I think that that is because of the Instagram, TikTok, and yet comedians in Spain said it is a nice idea to just do some crowd work because this way they don't know my jokes, you know? I keep my jokes secret for my show. I don't fire my material, you know, I don't use it. And okay, it's okay for promotion, but not for an entire show, you know?
Yeah, that theory is why people started doing it in America as well, is because, well, I don't want to give away my whole show. But then what happened is young people, they didn't know that there has to be also a show.
That's it.
Young comedian. Like for older comedians, I get it. You're like, well, if you come to my show, you get the full, you get the hour of jokes. But online, you just get these crowd work clips. But then young comedians went, oh, I don't have to write jokes. This is easy. This is going to be
I'm
easy.
I'm going to do 1 hour of promotion.
Yeah, the shows are 1 hour promotion. Do you find the audiences in Spain are enjoying these comedians?
There was like a big boom, like a big, everyone wanted that. But now they are beginning to be tired. Yes. Like, oh, again, talking to people. They are beginning to be tired.
Because people are boring, usually. I mean, regular people in the audience.
Well, and also as an audience member, you don't pay to hear about the audience's life.
Right. You're interested when they're talking to you, of course, but you're not interested in them talking to other people. Unless
no, you want to hear the, you paid to see the comedian talk, not to just hope that the audience is funny.
Yeah, that's what I think. But well, it's beginning to change now. I think in Spain, there are like 3 or 4 comedians. But they do it very well, the crowd work.
Yeah.
They are just masters of that. But then all the others are beginning to go down because, you know, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think it's the same. I mean, we got told recently by New York Comedy Club, which is one of the big clubs in New York City, stop doing crowd work. They sent an email.
The first time they've ever done this, send notes or something?
They sent it. Yeah, I've never gotten notes. They sent an email to all the comedians saying, hey,
please
stop. You stop using you're on stage at our club for 15 minutes and it's one of the hardest clubs to get into in America. It's very valuable stage time. They're like, for the love of God, work on your act.
Yes.
It's sold out every night. They're like, these shows are sold out. We're now getting complaints from our audience that no one's doing their act and everyone's just talking to them. Go please do your act or you won't be booked anymore.
What's the name of the club?
It's called New York Comedy Club.
It's called like that.
It's basically like they're like Antifa in this story. They are against the fascism. They are going to take it down.
Okay.
You're right. Antifa. They're anti-fascist. So let's get on to this story. This is interesting. So how did we get that story right, by the way, or did we get it wrong?
Yeah.
Yes, you get the story about the elections in Spain?
About the elections on Sunday.
People were afraid.
Yes. Yes. The far right went down, the far left went down. All the two big parties in the center left and center right, they got not the results that they expected, like in the old times when both of them were the biggest ones, still are the biggest ones, but with less seats. Okay. And then we have a lot of minority parties who now has a lot of power because they are trying to do groups to form, how do you say,
coalitions.
Coalitions.
Yeah, in parliament.
A coalition that is enough, big enough to make up a government. And it's going to be very, very difficult because there are a lot of parties and they have to agree a lot of terms. So many people think that we are going to another elections. It's a possibility.
Because the new coalition, all the parties that won have such a small percentage that they're going to have to, 10 of them.
Some of them are kind of
combinations.
The combinations, yes, sometimes are very hard. There are too many parties and a lot of interests. Some of them are against the others. So how you make a big group? You have to listen to all of the interests. So some of them are difficult to accept, for example.
So why did because why did the polls, because all of the polls and the predictions had it that the far right party, the Vox party, V-O-X party, would win. And that's then the Vox party lost 50% of their seats in the Senate. Why did they get it wrong?
And the funny thing is that the only poll that was close to the real result was the government official poll that everyone said, this is the government. They are lying to us. This is impossible. The far right is going up. And they say, no, we have this poll. We say that we are going to win again. So this poll that was the one that everyone thought it was false, it turned out to be the only one that is right.
Oh, so when you say the government, you mean the government in power, like the yes. ruling party
the
has
ruling
their
party
own polling
has their
system?
Own poll, and they say, it's going to be like this. And everybody said, you're crazy. That's impossible. Yeah. And then, it's more or less like that.
I mean, I wouldn't believe that either if each party. So why did all the independent polls, why did they get it wrong? Because in America, the polls, the usually predict something and then the result is further right.
Yeah. And also in
than
England,
they predict because people don't want to, and in England as well, because people don't want to admit to a question to a public that they're actually voting for the far right group. But then when it comes to vote, they do it. They just don't want to say it in a poll. But you guys had the opposite happen.
Yes. So, we have the a different effect. We have that too. In the previous elections, the far right always goes up from the polls because of what you said. People tend to don't say that and change. But now we have this effect that is like the polls said that the far right was going to go so much up and the right was going to win so clearly that a lot of people from the far right and right stay at home. Like this is won. This is absolutely, we won. They don't need my vote. And the voting was in summer. So most of them were in on summertime, in some beach. I don't care. We are going to win. Yeah. And on the other side, the left people said, oh no, the far right is coming. I'm going to motivate them whatever it takes. So it changed it.
Yeah, the far left said, cancel our trip to Ibiza. We're take the glow stick out of your mouth, again. Honey. Yeah. We got to go vote. Put down the cocaine. We got to vote.
No one's getting laid this week. We got to save the country. Save the
cancel the Ryanair flights.
Ryanair.
That's what some people say. I don't really know about the polls, but I think that they did like TV shows before the election, you know, where the candidates, they talk to each other in front of the audience, and the and the right and the far right did very, very bad.
Debates.
Is it one person from the far right, or when you say, cause it's a parliament. So you're saying in general, their candidates just didn't do well.
Okay. Vox is the far right.
Yeah.
And
it's also
this guy, Santiago Abascal. It was a disaster on TV, you know? And then even the men from right, not far right, but right, the Partido Popular, told a lot of lies that you could even with your smartphone say, this is not true, man. What are you talking about? Right. So
like, what are some
they
examples?
Did it so, for example, the one from the right, Partido Popular, he said, when we are in power, we always go up with the, we say pensiones. What
the
you
pensions.
Get when you are an old man and they,
yeah,
the
you
government,
get a pension.
We never always get them up. And the other one, the leftist guy said, no, that is not true. 3 years, I have these 3 years where you stopped. And he said, no, that's a lie.
Yeah, the pensions, he said, always increase when we're in office. And
but it's
obvious
not true. And it was obviously not true. So a lot of things like that, And so all of the right guy, Feijo, the right candidate, yep. all of his, we say, campaign, mm-hmm. was about the leftist guy is a liar. He's a liar. And yeah, now you go in a TV show and all you say is lies. So people say, okay, well, you both are liars. Okay, I prefer the one that I know, not yeah. you. Because I know this guy is not Armageddon guy, like
sure.
you said.
Yeah, it's been fine. So the last 4 years have been fine in Spain. It's been okay. I mean, pandemic, of course, but but with that's the whole world.
They did. The government in power, they did some good stuff, like the increase of the less payment. How do you say that? The sueldo mínimo.
Oh, the minimum wage.
The minimum wage. Yeah. A lot of rights for the LGBT movement.
Yep.
Right. And feminism.
Yep.
We did like a big leap in all of these rights. That in these elections were in trouble because of the far right. So the results, we don't know if we can make a government, a leftist government, but at least we stopped that, that wanted to take these rights back down. You know, they wanted to erase all this.
Yeah, because the center right government party, the popular party, right, they got the most votes, but they just don't have enough.
No,
they don't have enough
because they said that they would do a group with the far right.
Right.
So other parties that are right but not far right said, "I'm not gonna give my seats to you because you're going the far right. I am not leftist, but I am not far right, and I don't want to be in that group." So
they screwed up.
They screwed up.
Yeah, because this party, the Vox party, I was reading about. I saw in one. They're very hard. You say like LGBTQ rights and feminism. Like that, we read in some town where they have power, they banned a movie that had two women kissing. Which
yes,
you know, I think that's a bridge too far. For most bigots are still into the lesbianism, in my experience. If it was two dudes kissing, I can understand how that would be popular. But that's just going too far for regular voters, I think. So
yes, they even put a big flag in the street. Where there is a hand throwing the LGBTQ flag to the trash.
Oh, you know? Yeah, throwing the pride flag.
Wow.
It's mean. Dangerous. Dangerous. Yeah.
It's one thing to be like against something, but to be mean about it like that is like not going to win elections.
I have a question, Danny. So they say that the Vox party they're against immigration.
Yes.
They're against the LGBTQ and their support traditional Christian values, right?
White power in Spain. Oh, you didn't see that coming, huh?
They like white power.
I thought you were people of color though in Spain.
No, yes. They're white people. This supports, I've been saying this for years, that Spanish people are European white people. In America though, you'd be a in New York
but
City,
if you say to some places in America, if you say that there is a problem of white power in Spain, they would laugh. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, because in America, people from Spain don't consider themselves white.
So they say Hispanic, no? Or
yeah, Hispanic.
Latin.
Yeah, yeah.
Latin.
Yeah. Or Latin. Yeah.
Like Italians? Latinx. It's the same as Italians, I think. I don't know.
No.
Italians are white. I don't know why Spanish aren't white, but Latins are. It's confusing. Oh,
it's one of the oldest European countries.
yeah. Italians are. Yeah, it makes no sense. But when they say traditional Christian values in America, in the United States, that means like the evangelical Christians. It means the not the Catholics, but the Protestant, like the.
No, here is the Catholics. Catholics.
Okay,
it's a Catholic country. Yeah.
So
are very Catholic.
Church,
yes.
So Vox and Catholic Church are together.
Simpatico.
I think that Catholic Church don't want to say that in public. They will never say that, but they would be very happy because part of the program they had a lot of Catholic stuff, like stop in the schools talking about gays, or that the father could take out of the school a children if they are talking about lesbians or whatever.
All the same stuff like, there as we have here. It's crazy.
Like Florida.
Yeah,
Florida.
Yeah. So that's it. But I think
critical race Catholic, theory? No.
That Catholic Church, that the Catholic Church is closer to Partido Popular, the one that is center right.
Center right party.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, because in the US, the Catholic Church stay distant from Donald Trump, but they don't support. You. Okay. Yeah. So they wouldn't support the far right.
Some of the priests are well known of being close to the far right.
I would say some of them. Yeah. But not the church as a group.
No, I don't think so. I think they are closer to Partido Popular, the center right.
And does the church publicly support candidates, or they don't say anything?
They don't usually do, but
yeah,
you know, in private with their congregation to their people. Yeah.
Okay,
of course they. For example, it was typical here in Spain that the nuns take all people to the place to vote. And they gave the Partido Popular paper to them, like, this is the one that
vote for
that
these
you
people.
Have to vote. Vote for this these people.
God said to vote for.
This so is, they went.
This
they
is
show
what
up.
God wants you to vote. You know?
They're showing up at the old folks' home and like wheeling them down to the voting booth.
Like this, this old man is never gonna go to voting because I don't know, he's too old to get in a car. No, they got a bus and they take all of them. It's the same there? I don't know.
Yeah, they think the old people are going to the casino and they just take them to vote. No.
Yeah. They think they're going to Reno.
Yeah. Like, yes. Here's your trip. Vote for vote center right first. And yeah.
And do you have evangelicals in Spain?
Yes. We have, but it's more
it seems
like
such an American thing to me to have like a mega church, like a big church because in a football stadium.
Yes, they are a minority here. I'm a minority, but almost everyone here is Catholic. But there is a big Latin from South America, a big Latin community here in Spain. Hmm. So sometimes they fill a stadium. Maybe there are a few Spanish people inside because most of them are from Colombia, Bolivia, or, you know, Peru.
South America. Interesting.
South American. So sometimes you go walking down the street and you see a poster like in a stadium, a guy, an evangelic, but it's more for people from Latin America. From
what is it? The evangelicals, say what you will, but they can really sell out football stadiums.
They have, they're not doing crowd work. They're not,
doing crowd work.
No. They come with material. They got their own stuff.
Oh my God. Yes. If evangelical pastors start putting out crowd work clips,
Then I will go.
Yeah. They're like, listen, I saved my good material for the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
what's
online.
What's your name? Guy, I'm Satan. Oh, Satan.
Who's your favorite angel? Who's your favorite saint?
Name. This priest knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
This guy knows what's
up. Not so much evangelics here. Also, gypsies. Gypsies are evangelic, no Catholic. So that's another example.
But they're not Christian either, right? They got their own deal.
Yes, they are Christian.
They are gypsies?
Gypsies, yes, and evangelics. And so if you go close to a church, they are singing and with the guitar. About Jesus. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Here are the gypsies. They just steal stuff at bus stations.
I thought they put their own religion. Yeah, they put on like a curse on you. I mean,
yeah, they curse you.
They curse you.
To 1,000 years bad luck.
Yes, but that curse goes on Jesus and whatever.
Jesus curse.
With the power of Jesus.
The only time, ours are like some type of Middle Eastern, aren't they, Kaplan?
We don't have the true gypsies are in Europe. Let's be honest. We have, they're all.
No, they are in Reno. I've seen them at Circus
Reno.
Circus.
Oh, really? Yeah. They headed west.
Yeah, my mom was like, we got to get out of here. There's gypsies.
We're supposed to call them something else now. I don't know what it is, but not gypsies.
I don't care. You know. I mean, who's going to cancel me? A gypsy?
It's true. We don't have a lot of gypsy listeners, I guess.
All right, we got to take a break.
In Spain, there are a lot of gypsies. because it's in everywhere. They say in South, in Andalusia, but that is not true. They are everywhere. And they are very close communities, you know? Sometimes they don't mix up with the rest of the people.
Yeah,
like
Orthodox Jews. But this is changing a lot from some years ago to now. So now it is more common that gypsies are in society. Integrated. Yes.
Mom, this is a gypsy. We're getting married next month.
Yeah.
Hold your judgment.
Yeah, that's not. And most of the some actors are gypsy. They are very good. Musicians are gypsies here in Spain.
Oh really?
So, like
Filipinos here.
Like Lola Flores. Do you know Lola Flores?
Good singers.
Lola Flores. No.
Laura Flores, is that a gypsy singer?
Yes, of course. Yes, yes.
Now, this is so fascinating to me, because here the gypsies will steal your wallet.
you said it, not me.
But all of them?
No, they
I
do.
Don't
That's
think
part
so.
Of their culture. I don't think pickpocketing's bad for gypsies. I'm serious. I think it's
but
seen
what,
as
what,
part
what
of-
gypsies are you talking about? Because here are they come from Far East, I think.
From India, originally.
Yeah,
but now they are the Spanish people. They talk Spanish.
Okay. They're not part of the culture. People thought they're from Egypt.
Sometimes it's hard to make a difference.
Well, because Kaplan and I got, they tried to pickpocket us in Barcelona. And I'm wondering if
you're right. Remember at a Burger King, my brother was passed out. They started going through his stuff.
In the year 2000.
In
the year 2000, Kaplan and I were in Barcelona. And they tried to pickpocket us. And I think those were gypsies.
And they put a curse on us, I think. They said, your podcast will never be number one in Spain.
We said, what's a podcast? They said, you'll know.
You'll know. When
they got out of Globe.
You'll remember this day.
All right. We got to take a break, Kaplan. Yeah. We are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us. That is the Majoring in Everything podcast with Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. My wife, Yaya, and I will be staying with him in his home in Austin, Texas. In October, we're going down to see an F1 race. Formula One.
Oh. So much going on in this sentence. You're going to see a Formula One race? You're staying with
my wife? It's her favorite sport. She's become obsessed with Formula One racing.
My favorite sport, too.
Really? She loves Carlos Sainz, right? Oh. The Spanish driver.
See, Gypsy?
Of course. Fernando Alonso is the number one.
Fernando Alonso is number one. Okay. That's I don't know. She just said what? So I'm just saying she likes them because they're Spanish. I'm playing to the crowd.
Yeah. getting heckled on your own podcast.
But is your wife Spanish?
No, my wife is Chinese.
Ah, Chinese. Okay.
Formula One.
So from China. Fernando Alonso, she should support Zhou. There is a Chinese driver, Zhou.
Zhou Guanyu. Yes, there's a Chinese driver. Anyway, she's into everybody. She likes them all equally. I'll just say that now because I'm getting heckled from outside the room. We love Formula One. So we're going there. We're staying with Andrew.
Are you taking he into Formula One? Because I can't
see
him.
No. He's offered us to stay with him. And he has a big mansion
out
there.
He'll cook for you. He'll give you lectures at night on
so well on his podcast. Anyway, Political Orphanage Podcast, everybody. Subscribe to all of those at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. Of course, go see Kaplan's show that I'm going to be on July 27th. And buy my comedy album. It's now available on vinyl. It went to number one in America when we released it. It is called Double Happiness. I have it on vinyl record, and I'm shipping it worldwide. I just shipped it to someone in Australia. I have orders from England, the United Kingdom. Shipping worldwide, and I will include with it a digital download card. So you get it, you can get it on your phone digitally, however you want. Plus, you have the vinyl record, turnersparks.com to get that. And now, Kaplan,
congrats.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's exciting. And now a word from your local sponsor.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plans planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors. And I'm going to buy a vinyl. I think I want to make you go to the post office. So I'm going to go.
I have to mail them at the post office. I have to go there right after this to send one.
My brother in Israel to buy one. Just all around the world.
You're going to freak out. You're going to freak out with the F1, the Formula One, because it's changed a lot now. You know, it starts the race and then the pilot get out of the car and says to the audience, "What's your name?"
He's doing crowd work.
Yeah, you're from China. Oh,
these drivers are like, no one's watching me because I got to do crowd work clips, man, to stay relevant. I got to build my social media.
They should be doing that while they're driving, talking to the people in the audience. Like, you're on speaker. Yeah,
they have radio in the helmet, so they could.
Yeah, they could drive themselves these days, right? I mean, they don't have to do anything. They're just in the
car. It's all computers. So they just kick back. They're on autopilot.
On autopilot anyway. Exactly.
I want to be the first autopilot Formula One driver.
That would be the great biggest scandal ever. If someone's doing that without telling
people.
Put it
on cruise control and you just go to sleep.
Self-driving car. You're getting wasted.
Amazing.
Well, Raikkonen got wasted while driving. You know that driver?
Who did?
Kimi Raikkonen.
Kimi Raikkonen. I do know him. Wait, he drove drunk in a Formula One race?
He even got sleep. In a race, he
no.
went out of the. Yes, he got sleep and he said, "Yes, I had a hangover."
Oh,
he's my favorite.
Yeah,
he's my favorite.
My wife, she likes all of them equally, but she likes him as well. Kaplan, this guy is like, he's like Jokic in the sense that he's very good at driving, but doesn't seem to care much.
Right. He's the cool. Yeah,
he's just uninterested. And his car broke down in one race a couple years ago, and they were in Monaco. And he famously got out of a car. Usually these guys get out of the car and they're ranting and raving and they're flipping out and they go back and they yell at their team. He got out of the car and didn't even go back to his dugout, his box to talk to his team. He literally just took his helmet off and walked straight onto a yacht and just chilled on the yacht and watched the rest of the
But that party in that yacht was his party.
It was his own party.
The car close to his party.
In the middle of the race, he just walked off the car and went and partied on a yacht and watched the rest of the race.
I mean, this is definitely a sport. I love it.
All right. Back to Spain.
So
I wanted to ask this. So a lot of what we read, they said leading up to this election, they said, of course, these are American media. This is CNN,
the New York Times,
New York Times, the failing New York Times. They all said, of course, that the far right is going to win in Spain. Because the far right won in Italy, in Hungary, it's gaining in all these European countries. So there's momentum in Europe, so they will win. And my question is momentum in Europe a real thing? Or are all the countries, they're all independent countries that speak different languages. So is this just something that the American media thinks is real? Because in our states, it's real. You can predict, but we are all one country. We speak the same language. Is it real? Is momentum real in Europe or not?
The rising of the far right? you know?
Or any momentum, like if the far like right trends. Wins, yeah. And so then there's be a trend in one country that it'll happen in other countries, and then later if the far left wins, then that'll happen in other countries. Or if the minimum, are these trends real, or is this? Just
it's difficult to say. In Europe, it's a little different because countries are very different from each other. Yeah. It's an economic union, not cultural union. Sometimes
European Union, yeah,
and so. It is true that if you win in Italy, you can support the ones of your ideology in the country next to you. Like,
oh, can you say that one more time? Cut out for a minute. Can you say that one more time? That's it.
Yes, that it is true that if you are from the far right and you got power in Italy, you can help to the party of far right in Spain, okay, with I don't know money or with the press, you know, saying yes. This guy is what Spain needs in the European, for example, in the European community, Parliament. In the Parliament.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can say this is the great guy. Spain should choose this one, but at the end of the day, in Spain we have very, very different cultures, even inside our country. And far right, they see Spain as a whole. And they don't understand the different cultures that are. And they even want to erase them. They want a uniform Spain, like with Franco. Everyone speaks Spanish. Everyone. No. So
yeah, not that's Catalan, Spain.
Basque.
And not so the Basque
yes,
region.
The Basque or the Catalonian. So that Spain doesn't exist anymore. So they are talking about a country that is only on their dreams.
They are nightmares.
That is our nightmares, you know. And so we stopped that. I think that's a lot of that's the key, I think, about that Spain is different from what happened in other countries in Europe, that we don't have that uniformity, you say?
It is interesting though. So why would, so Meloni, we're talking about in Italy, the far right leader of Italy, she did campaign for the far right in the Vox party in Spain.
Yes.
She said, everyone go vote for them. It didn't work, but why does she care? Why does she want Spain to also have a far right?
Oh, because we have then the elections for Europe. We have also a president of the European Union. So, okay. And the parties are the same. We have Partido Popular in Spain. We have Partido Popular in Europe. They all belong to a big part European country.
So the European Parliament. European party,
yeah, sorry. Yeah. So Meloni and Abascal, they are part of the same party in Europe.
I understand.
She wants him to go up because that means more power in Europe, not only in Italy.
Okay.
It's ironic because they hate
you. And they are Eurocept. you have to understand that Meloni and Abascal, Vox, they are Eurocept. They want to break the European Union. They don't believe in European Union.
Right. That's what I was saying.
So
yeah.
The more countries that have this kind of parties, more possibilities that the European Union breaks.
I see. Okay. And I one more cap. Sorry, but go ahead and jump.
No, go ahead.
Does the war in Ukraine affect these elections? Because that's an issue that I could see. I didn't think about the idea that there's that European Union overriding body that they're all trying to get seats in and everything.
Right.
But I could see because the EU does support Ukraine, is supporting Ukraine in their defense against Russian invasion. And in America, we have a party that's now, we have both sides, far ends of both sides they don't want to support Ukraine anymore. They say, no, we have to focus on America. And that could be, is that something that unifies the far left and the far, or that unifies different parties around Spain, around Europe? Is this?
I think that in Spain, we are everyone, even the right and the left are with Ukraine. Because yeah. I think that
for us, it's like the middle is with Ukraine.
They're very close.
We are with Ukraine. Kaplan.
I mean, the right center is for definitely with Ukraine, and the left center. It's really just the fringe.
It's the far left, far right.
Isolationist. Yeah.
Everyone is scared of Putin, you know? Mm. So a lot of people don't care about Ukraine, but they fear Putin. So in Spain, there are no two different opinions. Everyone say, even right, left, they would say, we have to stop Putin, because maybe America is far away, but we are very close, you know, and Ukraine is the first, then it goes Poland, and then
it would
us.
Be weird if it would be weird if Putin got involved to support the far right in Spain, because you would have, I mean, the tradition of Franco was obviously the Soviet Union was on the other side. So it would be a strange bedfellow.
Well, but it would make sense for him, because if the goal is to break up the EU, I would assume he also wants to break up the EU, right?
Right. Yes, I understand that. It's just a weird country for him to do it in, because the whole history of Spanish Civil War and everything. But yeah.
And I don't know if you guys saw, but it was yesterday or overnight, last night, Russia dropped like missiles landed on the Donbass.
Yes, Donbass could be.
No, it's what's the river along Romania?
Dnieper?
Maybe. I feel like it's with a D. But anyway, basically on the border in Ukraine, but on the border of Romania, like very, very, very within, you know, feet.
That's Dnieper, I think.
We got to find a Romanian comedian.
Danubio?
It's the Danube.
Danubio. Danubio. We say Danubio here.
Oh, you say, okay, sorry. Same river. Yeah. Different name.
Yes.
You say at Danube, whatever.
Yeah, you're Spanish, they have their own name for rivers in Spanish. Did you know that? No.
Yes. We invented that just to annoy you.
Invented. Yeah. So basically, that was, they were saying, if that missile would have landed in Romania,
yes.
Boom, we have World War III. That's a...
I don't know if that so easy
course,
to have a... But yes, things are very, very... We are very... I'm worried about that, because in some instance, any day could happen a big disaster, you know? And we are weak military. Europe is not a big how do you say, a potencia military power. We don't have a great military power. Putin would win us. So we are kind of scared. We are not the states, you know?
Yeah, but you
would support you. You have us.
We would, you know, like...
Ah, you will come back again.
We come back, yeah. The
United States with 100%...
If he attacks Western Europe, I think we have to get involved a little more.
Well, we would 100% get involved. Yeah. If Spain, I can say that with certainty.
Are you
Spain,
afraid of Putin there? Nah.
No. So
we're afraid of nuclear weapons, I guess. It's the only thing people might be afraid of.
I don't even know if people are. Do you know anyone who goes around scared of Putin?
I don't talk to people about this I'll ask the crowd on Thursday night if they're afraid of Putin.
Don't ask the crowd.
That's good for the crowd work.
It is such a good...
Are you afraid of Putin?
How afraid are you? Afraid?
And then if they say no, and then you go to the next person. Now, are you afraid of Putin? We're going to ask everyone individually. Are you
fear
afraid?
Mix, 1 to 10. Give me a number.
We're raising money for dementia people. And they're like, are you afraid of Putin? Are you afraid of Putin? It is an interesting topic, though. Like, I never thought of that angle of being genuinely like every side supports Ukraine because we're all afraid of Putin. I don't think American politicians think that way. I don't think most American people think that way. I think if we support Ukraine, it's because we think Putin's a bad person and he needs to be stopped more than we're afraid of getting nuked.
Right. And we support Europe in general, the whole NATO concept. So we have to stop Putin in his tracks, kind of thing.
Putin
so.
Every week is saying things like last week said, with this new missile that
missile?
I have,
missile?
I could erase Great Britain from the map forever in one day with one button. So he keeps saying these kind of things, or this goes to the middle of the Atlantic. So Spain, France, all of you can be a target. And every week says something like that. So a lot of people scare.
I mean, but he would be dead overnight, right?
He would be dead.
We could nuke the whole country.
We would carpet bomb Moscow. Yeah, we would nuke the whole country. I mean, Oppenheimer's the number one movie.
People are now into the atomic bomb again. It's like,
yeah, people are interested.
They just
want to
wear a Barbie costume while they do it. We'd have the people wear Barbie outfits, drop some nukes.
This movie Oppenheimer just came out. Everyone goes, who can we nuke next? This is fun.
You know that that I'm going this night to see to watch the movie.
Oppenheimer.
This night. I'm going this night.
Oh, he's going after this episode.
Have you seen it?
We have not.
I have not. I heard it's very good. Have you, Kaplan?
I have not either, but I'm going to see the Barbie movie first, and then
I'll
wait. I'll wait on that. You see Oppenheimer.
I see that you are less afraid than us if you go first to Barbie. Yes.
Yeah. Kaplan's more of a Barbie fan.
I got to take my daughter. So
yeah,
you are more worried about Barbie.
Exactly. I had one question about the whole coalition that we might try to form here. With Sanchez is he's the socialist leader, yes. Right? So yeah. We read that, I guess there's a lot of different parties, separatist parties.
Yes.
Which we talked about, I think, on an earlier podcast. And so I guess he would need to basically make a union with all of them or several of them, including there's one we read about. It's the Junt Party and the leader. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Pig Dumont. Is that it?
Pig Dumont.
He's actually. He's fled Spain after the referendum and he's in exile right now. And he would need to come back, I guess, to throw his support. Is that how that would work?
That's another funny thing, that we are waiting for a man that is outside of the country, and that if he comes, he goes to jail. and this guy's got the key of the government.
The key to forming a government is forming a government with a guy who doesn't. He believes in seceding from the country, right? So it's the irony of, like, we're going to form a government with a guy who doesn't even want to be part of this country.
Yes.
So that we can have a government.
And actually, the day after the elections, they ordered the detention of this guy again. So it's crazy.
And he's being arrested. He's being arrested because he tried to secede. He led a movement to secede from the country.
Yes.
Did you already say that part, Cap?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Because in Spain, it's not legal, the succession. Now they changed the law. So now it is not, if it happens again, they wouldn't go to jail. We changed the law.
Oh, it's like weed. It's like they legalized it now. So now.
Yeah, yes, it's like not legalized gambling. The succession. The succession is illegalized. But if you try it, you don't go to jail. You just, you try it. It is not legal. You
it's
don't
not
get
legal,
it.
But they don't enforce it. They don't.
Good try. It's a good try. Try
good
to
try.
It's like when marijuana was legal or not legal.
I feel like that's still illegal in the United States, is it not?
Succession?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's some states in the South that might try it soon. So Texas.
California for a while was trying to leave.
But this guy's a member of the European Parliament, though. How is he a member of the European Parliament if he's supposed to be arrested? How does that work?
Yes, that's because some of the countries that are in Europe, that law, it is legal.
Succession. Okay.
So they are not illegal in Europe. You might be illegal in your country, but not in the Europe Parliament. But they are beginning to have trouble with that. And they will have more in the future because they are trying to, leftist parties are trying to keep the union, you know. And if you leave your country, you... immediately leave the union because, you know, if you, for example, Catalonia breaks and it went out of Spain, then it went out of Europe.
Right.
And if Catalonia wants to join Europe, Spain has the right to say no forever. No.
Wow.
You need the yes of Spain to get in the European Union. It's one of the countries, Spain, France, Germany, United Kingdom before.
Yeah, now, anymore. They lost their veto power.
Not anymore. But those countries have this right of say yes or no. So a lot of countries, that little countries that would get out of their motherlands, they would get out also from the union.
It would screw up their economy then, their trading, basically.
That doesn't seem like a good idea. And then why did, I don't know if we have time to get into this or not, maybe we save it, but I guess if it was quickly, why did the left, we haven't talked much about how the far left, because the prime minister is a socialist, right?
Yes.
And they also lost power in this election.
Socialists.
Yes.
They won more seats.
Well, they won more seats.
But they don't have enough
power. They won two more seats, I think, from the...
See the failing New York Times.
But they don't have enough. They had a coalition before. What changed where they can't have a coalition now?
Yes,
I guess.
The problem is that the far left went so down. Like they now need
leftier than socialists.
They now need the separatists, you know, a lot more than before. That's what's the problem, because separatists are going to ask for separatists.
Like, well, yeah, I was going to say, what's the deal you make with separatists? Like, you.
I was going to say, like, I don't think you're in a winning position if you need the support of people who want the country to end.
That's a trouble.
Right. So what's the deal you can even cut? Like,
that's very far.
We won't enforce it.
The last elections, they did some, for example, they people from those parties who went to jail, they get out of jail. For example, or they could ask for Puigdemont, who is outside of Spain, let him come back, don't go to jail, you know,
forget
about all of the crimes. So they can get all these little things. But the split, they cannot get it because it's illegal. And they would have to change the law. And then they would need the votes of all of the country. It's very difficult that all people from Spain agree that now any place from the state could, with a votation, split. You know, so very difficult for them.
And I read
they're going to ask for I don't know. They were talking about the trains of Catalonia that now is the company is national, but then they want to change it, and it would be a Catalonian company who rules the trains of Catalonia. That kind of things.
That's a deal
that they want.
Mundane nuance.
Yeah, because I heard that a lot of the separatists didn't even vote this time either, because they had already relaxed the rules. They were like not motivated. They were at Ibiza partying it up.
What happened with the
separatists?
They now realize that it's not legal, that it's not possible. So they vote.
They're summering.
They vote. They want more rights for their region or whatever, but not thinking about the split. I don't think so. Maybe Junts, that is the party that is more extremist.
Yeah.
That's the hardcore one.
All right.
Yeah,
well, that is it. Danny Boy Rivera, thank you for joining us on the show. We've kept you long enough. I know you got to go off.
You got to go see Oppenheimer.
Absolutely.
Yes, I got to go see Oppenheimer.
Come back and give us a review.
Yeah, we'll come here next week.
Let us know how it ends.
Oh, don't tell me how it ends.
Okay.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I won't tell you.
That is it, everybody. That's the podcast. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you guys for calling me. Thank you very much.
Of course, anytime. We'd love to have you back. Everybody follow him at Danny Boy Rivera on Instagram, and go check out his comedy all over Europe, everybody. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
Comedyforacause.nyc this Thursday night. And then in the meantime, I think you say, is it, I was going to say in Spanish, forget it. Get lost.
Vamanos.
Vamanos, muchachos.
Vamos.
Vamos, muchachos.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.